Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So, since it's a Monday morning, I think we start with our assignments from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So the Friday assignment was, we must be holy without holiness. We must be whole, complete. That's being holy. Any other kind of holiness is false, a snare, and a delusion. Today, without judgment or conclusions, consider ways in which you could be more whole, more here. Notice how attention is fractured by the conversation and conditioned mind and prevents wholeness. Practice bringing wholeheartedness into your everyday activities. Record and listen several times throughout the day about what it's like to experience the holiness of wholeness. And Saturday, love until it hurts. Today, practice allowing love to grow and expand. Start your day with a recording of unconditional love. As you go about your day, practice being in love with everyone and everything. Find the willingness to risk the growing pains. At the end of the day, record what you experienced. And then yesterday, love is a condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own. Today, find a way to bring happiness to another for the love of it. Let life inform the how of doing this exercise. Record your process of listening to life and your willingness to follow through. What are you noticing about happiness and love? What a powerful set of exercises.
No kidding. I can't wait to hear.
Okay, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Well, hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, hello. So I'm not exactly sure how this fits into the three assignments, but I know it does. And this weekend, from Friday evening until Sunday evening, I was practicing with really intense sensations, and sometimes it felt like torturous sensations.
Wow.
So,
Elizabeth, was there a sense that they were, how to ask this? Did it feel like it was mental, emotional, physical, the source of the sensations?
There was an ample amount of purely physical, nausea and blood sugar plummeting, and some others. And there was also a lot of, story sensations about abandonment and, jabs of panic and fear. And so I was just really trying to, as my disidentification process, to stay with the sensations. And the good thing, so it was a pretty intense weekend. And by Sunday night, though, I got, what dropped in was this really friggin' awesome reassurance recording about facing sensations, and we can stand it, and really reassuring. So that was the good thing.
So it's kind of surviving, right? I had just had an image of somebody out in a boat, way out in the ocean in a huge storm, and just being thrown around in every direction, and it feels like you're going to die at any minute. And then the storm subsides, and you're still there, and there's just that tremendous sense of relief and possibility and gratitude, and because you made it.
I'm not there yet, but the closest to there, to that gratitude and relief because I made it, is that I made it to the Monday morning show.
Yes. Well, exactly. You got to that reassurance recording that told you that not only could you stand it, but you did, because you had survived to that point. And then you got here this morning, which is further confirmation that that you've made it. Not you've made it in the sense that, whew, Elizabeth, glad that's behind you. You'll probably never have to endure anything like that again, because that would be naive of us. We can hope that that's the case, but the odds are good, since we recognize in this process of waking up that we are periodically thrown into one of those horror stories, and we get to do the what you did, which is hang on. You know, my image is hang on to your meditation cushion. It is a flotation device, and just make it through. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to meet any standards. You just make it through. And then we come out to the other side, and we're different. We're different in relation to that. We're just different because it's another confirmation that, yeah, you can stand it. Yeah, you can get through it. And then comes Monday morning.
Yeah, it did feel like what you're saying, and it's not like I'm out of it and the storm is blown over, because I'm still in it. However, as of last night, I got this, like, freaking awesome recording about, like, accessing the warrior at center that can stand it and can face it and can take it and keep going and can take a listen and keep on ticking and help the scared person who's like, I can't stand it, I'm not going to survive, and, you know, like, when the sensations get really strong. So that's at least I have that now. I have, like, a, you know, a good reassurance recording that's kind of like a sword for the warrior.
Yes. Well, and that image of, you know, you got to get paint a W on a shirt, right, for the warrior Wonder Woman. And when this stuff starts, you know, grab that shirt, put it on, and realize that you do have that warrior who can stand between that frightened person and the storm that's coming. That karma, conditioning, ego, let's face it, that's where it's coming from. That's where the stories are coming from of you're not going to make it. And there's that warrior standing there, basically saying, no, you're not getting to her. And that frightened person to know, oh, there is that warrior presence between me and what is terrifying me. It's a great image for what we're doing in practice.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful. I mean, just as a little aside, I'm so, so grateful. The new Star Wars movie has a great kind of gritty warrior heroine, and just that kind of, like, very inspiring for the hero's journey. So I'm, like, using that up as much as I can into my, you know, facing sensations.
That's good to have an image, isn't it, for that person?
So inspirational, really concrete, gritty image. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just was watching, and this is the last thing, is that, so staying with the image, staying with the sensations to stay out of the stories, and when the stories and or the sensations are really intense, it's, you know, I can still, after a while, start to become really unglued, and, you know, the sensations are still, you know, after 48 hours or 24 hours, so just, I mean, it's like whether it's the story I stay with or the sensation, which is a better thing to stay, much better disidentified thing, but it's still, I can come unglued from the sensation. So,
right. Well, sort of, Elizabeth, sort of, right? That's what it's going for, right, to wear us down and then to make us believe that we are worn down and that in some way it has won. But that's not true. Right, it's hard, and we get tired as the onslaught continues hour after hour after hour. There's no question about that, but not to lose sight of the fact that you came out of this. I'm still going to put it in the past tense, even though there's residue, because you have survived it. It did its worst, and you have survived it. Is it continuing? Sure, but it hits you with its best shot, and you remain standing. So it's still going to be there, trying to get you to believe that it's got something else, and that it could still, and maybe this, but that's not true. If it had anything else, it would be hitting you with it right now.
Okay, I love that. I'm going to make another kind of warrior type reassurance about, saying do your worst, because that will turn it from prey to predator, because these sensations can, I have to face them down, and they're trying to face me down, and that, do your worst will be further, disidentification in that great warrior form of prey to predator.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, that was it. I'm going to make another one about it.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know about this warrior chick. But the thing about it is, I bet there's some indication there that when she's been through a fierce battle, she's a little tuckered. Okay? And,
oh, yeah, she's beat to hell, definitely.
So we can expect that. Elizabeth, is a really good point, I think, for all of us. So when you've come through something like this, then when you get as to the other side as you are now, to take time to, as you say, record about that, listen a lot, meditate, be quiet, spend some time by yourself, go for a walk in nature, whatever takes care of you and rejuvenates the spirit. That's what you want to focus on, because conditioning would like you to come through something like that and then turn to, well, what do I need to do today? And get right into pressure and schedules and to-do list or whatever it is, so that you don't have time to replenish. And it's really important that we nurture the spirit when we have come through something that big. Okay? There's your assignment for today.
Yes, that's an awesome teaching, just that last bit. That's I didn't hear that teaching before, and that is a perfect, awesome teaching. So, yes, that is my assignment now, definitely. Thank you
All
very
right.
much.
Good. Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, she said she didn't know how this would apply to the assignment, and it's such
Boy.
A different perspective to what we were looking at, right? Because we often, love till it hurts, or we must be holy without holiness and whole and complete, or it's love is a condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own. And what Elizabeth was demonstrating is that place of absolute warrior, unconditional love that will hold the person against the storms of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. It doesn't feel that way because you're identified with the experience of the person in the storm. But if you're practicing through it, then you are the unconditional love that is holding the other person through it in a holiness that is never described as holy.
Yes. Yes. Right. Because, again, it doesn't look pretty, right? I'm just gritting my teeth and hanging on by my fingernails. And the voices would say, well, it doesn't look very holy, but it is. And love till it hurts. To go up against something like that for the love of a frightened human being. It's essence of practice.
It's the most sacred act.
Working out our own salvation diligently. And with what Elizabeth was pointing out, we get to see very clearly the three parts of how that happens. Right? When we hear working out my own salvation diligently, it seems like there's just me. But when we break it down the way Elizabeth did, then there's the human being committed to working out that salvation. There's the frightened person who feels completely incapable. And there's the unconditional love that enables us to do that.
And I think the sacred is that the unconditional love, there's a confusion that the unconditional love comes from me. It doesn't. The unconditional love is, And that's what is assisting us all the time, right? So from the perspective of that love, all of these assignments make complete sense. Love till it hurts.
Yeah.
Love is holiness. You know, it's just, we have to step back to an awareness of the non-personal to sometimes have a perspective of what is being pointed to here. All right.
Yeah.
Here's our next caller.
You
are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hey. I'm so happy I got on today because I'm in particular looking at yesterday's assignment, and I've looked at it a lot because it, because of the way conditioning interprets it, you know, it says love is a condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own. So, so that means, you know, from a conditioning's point of view for me and the way, and I would never have known this until without practice, is that other people have to be happy in order for me to be happy. That's how conditioning interprets that. And so I got to really look at that and to look at the how, because at first I was looking, how am I gonna do that? You know, find ways to bring happiness to another. You know, like what does that look like? Because what I would do is want to go in and fix and help and rescue and, you know, take responsibility and take control and do all of that. And of course that
ego all over them.
Ego all over the place. Yeah. Ego all over them, flat. And so, and I still work with this in my life all the time, even though there are times like this that I can see it so clearly. And, but there's just such a pull, you know, like I'm guessing I've been working with this for lifetimes. And, so in looking at that, I thought, okay, I could just bring the happiness of this human being, you know, like just bring it to whatever's going on, you know, bring it to life. And without having any of that other stuff, like if someone's unhappy, I don't have to just really seem they're adequate, I'm adequate, it's not my responsibility. And in fact, my responsibility is a way of taking control. I really see that sense.
Karen, in fact, the way you're describing it, that process really puts your ego's happiness, in quotes, above theirs.
Oh, yeah. It's completely about ego. Of course, I think it's about me. I think it's,
what it convinces you of is that it's about them, that you're doing it for them. And what you're seeing is actually you're doing it for ego.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's actually I have to fix them so I'll be okay. that's what it is. Like, and it's back to what, you know, the guidance I got years ago is that I just don't like the way I feel. Ego doesn't like the way it feels if someone else is struggling. And ego thinks...
if I may, if we take the opportunity to take it to the next level, ego actually loves that feeling.
Oh.
Right? Which is why it gets you to believe that there's something wrong with someone else, then you will be miserable, which gives all the attention to ego.
Yeah.
So it actually loves that. It's looking constantly, pointing you constantly to how he's not, how she, well, she's, she, well, if you, you could, you really, you should, you need to take it.
Yeah. No, it's there, and it just takes, you know, I'm not even, it's really hard. I have to really be have to really use some discernment with kind of all, everything I do because of that process.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, what is it, like, what's going on here, and who is this
yeah.
serving?
Well, and that might be a helpful little addition to your project, is just the simple realization that ego loves it when you can be convinced that someone else needs something from you. That's what it's looking for. That's what it's angling for. That's what it's talking to you about all the time, because that's how you will give it attention.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to get this on my I've got to get this recording on my recorder. Because,
yeah. I think that's gonna be big for you. And for all of us, you know, if we get the simple principle of this, that everything ego says it doesn't want, doesn't like, hates, is afraid of, you know, the list is endless. If we realize that it's talking about those things, not because they're true, but because by saying that, we will give it attention. So if ego
yeah.
says, oh, I'm so afraid, then we will give all of our attention to it, trying to resolve the fear, trying to, right? Because there's, I feel I'm so afraid. If we get it, that voice is talking to us so that we'll give all of our attention to it, we are much more inspired to turn attention away from it and back to the present where all issues are resolved, including fear.
Yeah. And including, well, everything's resolved, and it's really what I saw in the whole thing is that's the only way to bring the love.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's really the only way, you know, it's like, well, how am I going to do it? Well, that's the only way is that
yes.
is the presence.
Yes, and because it goes from, you know, the way we try to do this in all practices. So you go from the little L-O-V-E of ego, the Hallmark card version of love, to love in capital letters, which is the unconditional. And that little, the lowercase love is never going to lead to anything but suffering. The uppercase love is where all issues, all suffering ends.
Yeah. That's just so true. And it's just because of all of this that we're talking about, that's where so much suffering is for me in all of this
mm-hmm.
that we're talking about. That's just the thing, like, I must have come to Earth to work on or something, you know. And
well, Karen, what I that just brings up is another universal point in this. What ego is using against you is your goodness. You really do care. You really do care about people. And that's what it uses against you.
Yeah, it does.
That's how it manipulates you and takes
yeah.
advantage of you. Yes, because you will move out of uppercase love into lowercase love if somebody needs you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the harm is done, too. I mean, I
yes.
see that. You know, the harm to me, I mean, it robs me of
yep.
the experience of that uppercase love. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, and just
robs them.
You know, and if I start taking action and taking control and taking responsibility, I just, all kinds of things get muddled up, including
mm-hmm.
me. I mean, the whole thing just
mm-hmm.
gets worse. It's the snowball
mm-hmm.
effect.
They're not, they're not made better. They're not happier. They're not getting what they
no.
need. They, uppercase love is not available to them either. Oh, it's just a mess, isn't it?
No, it is just a big
mm-hmm.
mess. Anyway, so,
so you're seeing it.
Thank you so much. And
oh, you are so welcome. Thank you.
The whole way to do it was just to be present. And so way simpler than saying everything that was said, but just that's what I saw. So thank you. Thank
well,
you.
Well, yeah. Yes, and it's true. That's the bottom line. And we got to, if we don't know the steps, it's really difficult to get to the bottom line. So thank you for laying all that out there like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. You know, the part that I love best is to question the assignment and see how it's relevant for me, especially if the assignment is pointing to a karmic tendency that I do have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just critical, isn't it? Because if I'm not paying close attention, ego is going to take the assignment and use the assignment to reinforce itself.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That's
well,
a really good point.
I'm going to get one more caller, and I also see our team from Africa is calling in, Sherry, and this is their last day there. So hopefully let's get one more caller in and see if I can do both the callers. So here's our next caller.
Oh, lovely. All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Brad. I'm calling from Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
I'll make this rather brief. I guess this deals with love of myself, but love of others. I have my mom and my best friend going through two terrible times right now. My mom is divorcing after being married for 50 years. My friend who is always the most professional person in the world is now breadline and less. And, you know, I want to provide compassion for these people. I want to provide advice, but I really can't help them in terms of what they're going through.
Yes, what you can offer, of course, is unconditional love.
Yeah.
Right? You can offer unconditional love, and your conviction, if you really do have it, and if you don't, then that's where we're inspired to get it, your conviction that they are equal to their lives and that they can come through this clearer than ever, and that you know that. And you're right there holding that opening for them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with that. And with that, let me get off the line so you can speak to the other people, okay?
All right. Well, come back again, okay, and let us know how these folks are doing, and especially how you're doing with these folks. All right, good.
Thank you, Brad. Bye, Sherry.
Bye.
You know, Sherry, that is such an example of love till it hurts. Right,
uh-huh.
That place of being able to, there's nothing you can do to alter the person's experience, but you can love them and feel their pain come from that place of, no matter how painful it is in the small L sense, in the largest L sense of love, they're okay and we're okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and sometimes just having somebody know that gives us the courage that we need to take the next step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Well,
I may not feel okay, but if you think I am, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What are they doing? What are those people in Zambia doing?
Okay, well, let's find out. Hey, Jen, you're live on the air. Would you go ahead and tell us what you're doing briefly, since we're almost at the end?
Okay, I'm joined by my fellow travelers, Sridevi and Scott.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Are you doing the assignments?
Oh,
or are you
God.
A little bit busy with what's going on?
I mean,
I know you're loving till it hurts.
Well, exactly. I just keep thinking to myself as I go on my walk, I'm not doing the assignments. The assignments are doing me, you know? I mean, it's just incredible. And I'll just say my two sentences, which is this conversation that we're having, what that little L and the big L of love. I mean, of course, leaving day in Cantalumba, you know, Sherry, what an exquisite, poignant experience of the big L love, and knowing that this is a group of people who face some really hard things and they're completely way beyond all right, and it's such a privilege to participate with that.
Mm-hmm. It's that place that we talk about all the time, and I mentioned this to somebody yesterday who said, yeah, and hearing that, I just go to self-hate. So without any self-hatred, to look at these people and to realize what they face every day as compared to the things that we face every day. So we all have whatever's going on with us mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Yeah. And then there's the physical realities of the lives that we're living. And truly, we are more comfortably positioned to face what's difficult for us. And I think I just think I like holding that perspective.
Yes, me too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hi. Well, a word from your pals there?
No, just to say, ditto, and Big Kasho, such a wonderful experience here. And keep reading the blogs. You're just going to see it unfold further and further as the days go on.
I know, and it's already so darn exciting. It's almost beyond a human's ability to take in. Yeah, thank you, Sri Devi. Scott, how'd you do on your maiden voyage?
It's been amazing, and just what we were just talking about, feeling incredibly humbled and inspired again to drop the complaining of ego and the whining of ego, mm-hmm. and just completely be embraced and live that big L. Very grateful for the people here.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
we had some really beautiful songs to Mama Sherry as we departed today. So, and we got them on video. So,
oh, good. Well, good. Well, I will tell you, after this trip, I'm committed. Now, it may be the last time because what you folks are doing, you know, is incredibly difficult. The toll that it takes on the body is just outrageous, and we do get to a certain long in the tooth phase of life where it's harder than it was 15 years ago or so. And yet just seeing what's happening there, and especially when I saw that baby Sherry has now turned into little Sherry. She's going to be in high school soon. But I really do need to get back there and see everybody. Yeah. So thank you for bringing them to us.
You do, because little Sherry is insisting. She keeps saying to Josephine, Mama, I need to see big Sherry. I don't even know what she looks like. So we sat down and showed her pictures one day.
That's right. All right. Well, I know we're at time. So travel safely, all of you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you when you're on this side of the world.
Thank you so much for all the process support. It's been amazing to listen each night during our dinner to listen to the show.
Oh, that's so heartwarming. All right. I actually didn't realize that. So that's wonderful. We had dinner with you every night. Oh, that's so good. All right. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Travel
safely,
safe journey. And
good night,
Sherry,
good night and good morning.
Yes, there's no project that embodies that assignment. I mean, these assignments like Cantaloupe. Anyone who's participating knows that it's a process of loving till it hurts. A condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own.
Yeah. Yes, and so perfectly an expression of what Karen was talking about. You know, it's not going in assuming people's inadequacy and taking care of them in spite of themselves, but it's supporting one another to be the all that is possible for us to be, which brings in that big L again.
Yes, and the assignment for today is perfect. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Today, see if you can recognize the hard battle being fought by everyone you meet. Hint, notice eyes, body language, and the set of the mouth. Look to life to provide the support necessary to bring unconditional love to all, especially if there's a hard battle being fought by the person reading this assignment. Hint, what can you sense from being aware of your eyes, your body language, and the set of your mouth? Record and listen.
Wow. Wow. Well, now there's a projection exercise par excellence, huh?
I know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Good night. I mean, good night, Cantaloupe folks, and good morning, everyone else. So good afternoon.
Or good afternoon. I feel so Truman in this, don't you? Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Well, we are in the reality TV show, so we might as well say it.
Oh, that's good. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.